God is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. What a great Sunday night it is. I don't know about you, but we had a great day here in Oklahoma. Probably a top 10 day, in the upper 70s, nice sunshiny day, a few clouds, but spring has sprung, and we're glad about that. Amen. So we welcome you tonight. Our worship team, thank you guys. What an awesome job these worship teams have done all the time here at Rhema Bible Church, but especially during these times when it's them and the camera and you sitting out there, glory to God. And it's interesting, for those of you Rhema Bible Church members, all the curtains are up right now, and this is a big auditorium. I mean, it is really, really big, and we got the new pews down here and some different things going on, and you'll see it here next week. I mean, downstairs, but upstairs, that's, you forget how big of a place this is. Amen. But, hey, if we fill it up, we'll be happy. Let's keep believing God that even after all this, that we fill this place up. Amen. And because there's a seat for everybody, glory to God, going forward until Jesus comes back. Hallelujah. How many of you know he's coming back soon? Praise God. Well, I want us to look at something tonight, kind of continuing on. I've just really been impressed of the Lord in my own personal life and study to go back and to refresh myself into some of the basics of the things of faith. And so I want us to look at that. We're going to look at the life of faith tonight and some things concerning with that. And so grab your Bible, grab your notebook, and get ready here. We're going to have a great time in the Word of God. You know, I read it. I mean, I heard Brother Hagin mention it, and of course, Pastor mentioned about his dad, but I'd read it in Smith Wigglesworth's book also. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And that's really what faith's all about. It's just believing what God said is true. In fact, the Bible tells us to let God be true and every man a liar. We have to take what God says above everything else. I don't want you to believe anything because I say it. In fact, that wouldn't benefit you. I mean, I remember the seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19, I believe it was, they went out and cast out devils in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. They didn't know Jesus, but they'd heard Paul. Well, you can't do anything in the name of Tad. It has to be in Jesus' name. And so we want to look at the Word of God tonight. I want to start in Romans chapter 1. Romans, the first chapter. And I want to read verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now let's notice a couple things here. Paul talked about this gospel, the good news of Christ, that what? Jesus came, he lived a sinless life, he died a substitutionary death. He was separated from God on our behalf. He never had sin, but he took our sin upon him. He was crucified, dead, and buried. But as Pastor spoke on this morning, he rose again, glory to God, and he is risen today. Well, that's good news, amen? And that Jesus has done this for us, and that Paul, in his message, said this is the message that God was in Christ, and he's not holding your trespasses, your sins, against you any longer. And he says, I'm begging you, be reconciled to God. See, God, through Christ, God made peace with us. Are you going to make peace with God? And how do you do that? By accepting Jesus Christ. And so he says it's the power of God to anyone who believes, to the Jew first, the Jews who were the people of the book, the people whom God brought the Messiah into the earth through them, to them, but then also to the Greek. In other words, to those that weren't Jews. It doesn't matter. If you believe, the gospel becomes the power of God. The gospel, the Word of God, is the power of God to you and I. For in it is the righteousness of God. God's way of being and doing right. It is revealed there from faith to faith. Faith to faith. You know, righteousness, being right with God, being in right standing with God, is a matter of faith in what God has done, not in what I have done. It's according to what God has done through Christ. And the right standing with him comes as we believe. Believe what? The gospel. And he says it's revealed, as it is written, the just. The word just there means those who have been declared right with God. The just shall live. I want you to notice that. Live by faith. Live by faith. Now, I think so many times, if we're not careful, we tend to live having faith events. We go from one event of faith to the next. But this is a daily lifestyle that we are to be living. And in fact, the more we live this as a daily lifestyle, the more we're going to be able to walk in the benefits of our salvation on a daily basis. You know, it's one thing to be sick and to be healed, but it's a whole other thing to walk in divine health and to be where the place where God's word is medicine to our flesh because of what Jesus has done. It's one thing to have God do a miracle and meet a financial need, but it's another thing to live having all of our needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so we're not having events of faith so much, and thank God for those times when we need a miracle or we need something of that sort, but we are living by faith. I know you hear people talk about, you know, sometimes people get upset in church because, you know, a new piano bench is moved, or they move the piano from one side of the platform to the other, or the altar bench is moved, and they get all upset because, no, that's where that has to go because, you know, my dear granny got saved crying at that altar bench right there. That's right there. You can't move that. See, that was an event of faith. Thank God granny got saved, and thank God the altar was there for her, but it wasn't that event. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle. And so thank God for those times. We need to go back and remember all those things that God has done for us. But let's talk about living by faith. And so let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm not going to look at any scriptures that you don't know probably. But you know, every time we get into God's word, and especially the job of the minister, the preacher of God's word, is to take God's word and to preach it as the Lord gives it to him to lay out and gives him or her the minister to lay out. But with it comes the idea that you're either planting seed. Maybe somebody's never heard this. Maybe you might be listening to this and you've never heard teaching on faith. All right. So for you, it's like planting new seed. Others of us have heard this before. Some of you have heard it several times. Some of you heard it just a few times. Okay. But to you, it'd be like watering the seed. Okay, but it's God who gives the increase. God's the master farmer in all this. And so let's let this word either plant a new seed in us or let's let it water what we already have. I know there's times that I've sat right here, you know, at Rhema Bible Training Center at the time I went. You know, it's hard to believe. I graduated. I was 23 years old when I graduated and thought I knew everything there was to know about God and the Bible when I graduated. And oh, my goodness, if I could go back and tell that 23-year-old one thing, it would be, you're just getting started. Because I feel like I'm still starting all these years later in this. And that's been a few years ago, 1984, if you need to know that. But I remember sitting in class, and Kenneth E. Hagin, Pastor Hagin's dad, he'd come in there, and he'd say, okay, let's open up today to Mark 11, verse 22. And I'd sit there before class, I think, if this man comes in today and says, let's open up to Mark chapter 11 again, I think I'm just going to scream. How many times can he opened that up, and then he would make a statement. He said, you know, every time I read this, every time I preach from it, I see and learn something new. I thought, boy, this guy must be a slow learner or something. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I thought, he's got to be a slow learner because, man, I know what he was talking about now. I can see it now. Yes, praise God, we do learn and we're watering. So there's been times I've had to get myself by the ear and say, no, you don't now. No, you don't. Don't become so familiar with this that you don't learn and get watered and have something. So let's don't be so familiar with this, these verses that we don't get it. You ready? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now notice it says without faith. Notice it's impossible to please him or be in a place of pleasing with God, to walk in that a place. Now we're not talking about God doesn't love you. We're not talking about you're not a Christian, not saved. You know, we're talking about it's written to Christians. But there is, Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. So we want to live the same way. But he says without faith. Now what about faith? We live by faith. So we could say without living by faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, he didn't say, now thank God for good works. How many of you know good works are great, but they don't save us? But he didn't say, without good works, it's impossible to please him. He didn't say that, did he? He said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So faith is very important in the things of God. Now, he gives us two things here. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Faith is believing that God is. Is what? Is what it is you're coming to him for. And that he, and that Jesus is alive, that's part of it. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What does that mean? That God's going to give to you what you come for. Now let's drop back in Hebrews to verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to read to you something that is found in Wiest Bible Commentary. He says here, the word substance deserves careful treatment. It means to stand under, it means to come under. It means it's a foundation. It speaks of the ground on which one builds hope. In other words, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's all of the paperwork that you have together that guarantees you what you have. You see, you can hope for it. Hope is a future thing. Without hope, we couldn't have faith. And without faith, you couldn't bring hope to pass. Hope is future. We go to God's Word. For instance, let's think of it this way. We go to God's Word, and we see in God's Word my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So that gives us hope that all of our needs could be met, not just financial. I mean, there's all kinds of needs. But in context there in Philippians 4, he's talking about that financial need. And so that starts to give us hope and build a picture of us having all of our needs met. But faith says, I see that, I declare that it is true now. My needs are met. Not going to be met, my needs are met. And that's the difference between faith and hope. Faith is right now, hope is future tense. Faith is the substance, he said here, of things hoped for. Or it is the Living Bible here. The Living Bible says, it is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. The confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty, he says here, the evidence. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. See, hope is up ahead. I have a hope of having all my needs met. I have a hope of living in divine health and healing. I have a hope, you see, of that. You know, we have one hope that we do hope for, and that is that Jesus is coming back again. But we've just been declaring it. He says, the Bible says that those that have this hope in them will cleanse themselves, purify themselves, the hope of what? Of Christ's return. Well, we've been operating in faith. We've been saying Jesus is coming back. Now, we don't know when, so it's still future. Now, how many of you know this? After he's come back, we don't have to say Jesus is coming back, do we? He's already back. Amen. And so faith here is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, or it is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us. It is the certainty. Faith is faith is the assurance of things hoped for. He gives this translation actually. Now faith is the title deed of things hoped for, the conviction of things which are not being seen. I don't know if you've ever been around a building project or something of that sort, but usually the building project will begin with someone has an idea. You know, Pastor talks about how he saw this on the inside, you know. Well, and then after that, it had to be put on paper. But that's like the blueprint. If you've ever dealt with that, there's a blueprint that someone who understands how to read the blueprint and how to do that, they can take that blueprint and bring that building into reality. Now, the blueprint's not the building. Even an artist's rendering of what the building's going to look like is not the building. It is the hope of what it is, right? But think about the faith that goes into it. You have a blueprint, and so by faith, you go buy the materials. By faith, you cut the lumber that's involved. You cut it to the exact specifications. By faith, you act upon what the blueprint says to do, which is the hope. You see, when we act upon God's word, we act upon it. We're going to talk about releasing our faith here in just a moment. When we act in faith and live this way, we are acting according to what God's word says is ours, living like it's true right now. And we start telling everybody. I know when several years ago, in 2004, we were able to build a house that we live in here in Broken Arrow. And there was, you know, we went to see the model and all that, and they showed us blueprints and that, what it would look like and all those type of things. And then, you know, we took our kids over to the lot that we bought and said, this is where your house is going to be. And as it started going up, we'd go by there and look at it, and we'd tell people, that's our house. Now, we didn't live in it. In fact, we hadn't even made a payment yet. You know, you do that at the closing, right? Now, we had signed paperwork that said guaranteed we were going to, but there was a lot of faith involved in the building of that house on both sides of the contractor side and on our side. Amen. And, the great thing about dealing with God, you don't ever have to go back and check up on God. We had to go back and check up on a few things that happened in our house, and thank God that we did, and God brought us out and actually blessed us on the other side of it. But we would tell people, we would speak as if the house was ours before we ever could even see it. See, that's what faith does. It speaks of things that cannot be seen as if they were present reality. Faith speaks. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In fact, one of the ways that we release our faith, Pastor mentioned this morning, he quoted it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For time's sake, we don't have time to go back and read this down to this, but sometime you ought to do that. But he says this in verse 13, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. The same spirit of faith. The same, it could be translated, the word spirit there could be translated attitude. It could mean that. There's an attitude of faith. But then also, I understand what he means by spirit of faith. How do you live when you have that spirit of faith? You believe, and then you speak what you believe. So there's the believing aspect of it. Now, how do we form beliefs? We form beliefs by spending time with God, out of a relationship with God, by going to His Word, saying what this Word says is true, no matter what my circumstance says, no matter what my head tells me, no matter what somebody else tells me, I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. And I begin to form belief. And then out of my belief, I speak. I say what God's Word says about me. And in fact, if you're smart, you start saying it even before you believe it. Fully. You start saying what God's word says, and even you make up that mind. But he says it's a spirit. It's almost, it's like an attitude of faith, just like these saints of the Old Testament did. They believed, and therefore they spoke. Now look at verse 18. Here he says this, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporary, are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal. So much of what we see is temporary. Temporary. I know I wrote this down, and I brought it and stuck it in this Bible. Concerning facts. You know, facts are not evil by nature. They're not evil by nature. A fact is a piece of information about a circumstance that exists or events that have occurred. It's a fact, okay? It's a piece of information. But facts are subject to change. Truth is eternal. Truth is eternal. I mean, if we could wait ever how many, you know, thousands of years it would take, or maybe hundreds of years, probably wouldn't take thousands. But eventually, this pulpit here, it's, you know, just a very pretty and very nice to work off of. Eventually, it'll fall apart. Why? It's temporary. It's not made of eternal substance. But God's word is made of eternal substance because it's of God. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. and they carry eternity in them, the life of God in them. And so we're not to look at things which are seen that are temporary. We are to look at the eternal. How do we do that? We see it, somebody called it, said this way, with the eye of faith. In other words, we see what God's word says, and we begin to declare it with our words. Now here in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, of course, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. What's it mean to walk? We live by faith. Well, the just shall what? Live by faith. Now, when we talk about these things, don't get carried away and get over into a ditch. You know, you don't go out here to the road and say, well, I see that car, but I declare it's not there. No, you're calling something that is as though it is not. If you're smart, you'll wait till the signal changes, and then you'll wait to make sure the car stops before you walk your faithful self across the road. All right? You know, we're not talking about that's denial. Faith is not denying that the fact exists. Faith is saying, I'm going to choose to believe the truth, the eternal, over the fact. All right? I've seen this, and I've made this statement before. The consistent application of the truth will change the fact. I've seen it over and over and over in my life. I've seen it in others' lives. When you consistently live by faith and speak the truth, it has the ability to change what the fact says. Now go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Glory to God. Here in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Let me take some of the King James out here. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now I want you to notice something here. It's really not a prayer. We kind of made it, we call it the sinner's prayer, but it's really a confession of what you believe. Now notice, before you became a Christian, before you heard the gospel, all right? You weren't a believer. You couldn't call yourself a believer. But then you heard the gospel. And as a sinner still, in other words, as someone who's not considered what we would say saved still, you believed in your heart and you said with your mouth what you believed and you were saved. Now think about that. As a sinner, you did that and got the results that the Bible said that you could have. Why? Because when you believe with your heart, that puts you in a right place with God, in right standing with God, in agreement with God, and then you use your mouth to confess or to say what you believe, and it works unto salvation. Now the word salvation there, it's the all-inclusive word of the gospel. It gathers into it all the redemptive acts. I love what Mr. Schofield says in his Bible, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts. And it includes healing, includes preservation, includes deliverance. It brings all that together. But with you believe in your heart and you say it with your mouth. Now go over to Romans chapter 4. There's so much, again, we just got basically about a 30-minute time slot here to minister the word, and that's fine. You can't, I used to hear people say, I've heard that faith message. Oh yeah, what'd you do? Oh, I heard a sermon on it. You can't teach any Bible subject in one sermon, all right? And I've heard people say, well, you don't preach the full gospel or the whole gospel. Well, how many sermons have you heard that person preach? Nobody can preach the whole gospel in one message. I mean, all of it's in the Bible. Amen. So, we're just touching on a certain aspect tonight, and that is releasing by faith, releasing our faith and living a lifestyle of saying what we believe and making sure that we believe what the Word of God says. Now here in Romans chapter 4, we'll have time for one verse here. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. This is God talking to Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead or brings life to the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. Calls those things that be not, those things which cannot be seen, as though they were. Now, we don't have time tonight, but I'm going to challenge you to go back to Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to, as you go through there, every time it says, "And God said," underline that. Because before, when God said it, before he said it, there was not what he was about to say. The Bible says he looked out over the face and there was darkness everywhere. And God said, "Light be," or in other words, "Let there be light." And what happened? Light came into existence. Okay? God spoke. He brought his life into the situation by calling things that be not as though they were. What does that mean for me? Let's say I've got symptoms of sickness in my body, but I go to God's word and it says, "By Jesus' stripes you were healed." It says that he took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses or carried my pains. All right. It says that he has brought me salvation, which I know includes healing. It says, the Bible says, the life of God is in me. It says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and he's making alive this mortal body. It says all those things. I take those things, and when that symptom comes, I'm used to living. I'm not waiting for something. I'm just living. In fact, I've been saying, but you know, you're not going to go through life and never get a chance, never be attacked by the devil. You're not going to go and live on this earth and not have situations that come against you. You're never going to grow so much in faith that you don't have opportunities. But when those opportunities come, because you've already been saying it, when I was feeling good, I was saying the life of God is in me, affecting the healing and the cure. The healing power of God's working in me mightily. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I've been saying that even when I felt good. When that symptom comes, I don't stop. I just keep saying the same thing. Amen. I'm speaking, even though my body might be in pain, I'm speaking what the Word of God says. All right. And releasing my faith. And I'll be honest with you, it's been I go for long times without ever having any situations. Praise the Lord. But when I do, I've got to keep on. And I'll be honest with you, the Lord has really, really, now when I say I'll be honest with you, I haven't been lying to you before. That's just a habit. I shouldn't say that, I guess. But the Lord has been dealing with me about getting back to the basics for myself. And going back and saying, hey, you be a police over your words. You start watching what you are saying. Okay? And so this is just kind of coming out of that. Now, we can't talk about this subject without going to Mark chapter 11. So let's finish up with that. Pastor, again this morning in the sermon, mentioned this, I told my wife, I said, well, maybe I ought not, well, then I ought not preach on this, but I thought, no, I'm going to go ahead. This is what's been on my heart for several, since I knew I was preaching tonight, for actually several weeks now. And so, I'm not trying to, I mean, he can preach it a whole lot better than me, but I'm just doing my part tonight, all right? Verse 22, remember what happened here. Jesus had spoken to the fig tree. Now, I want you to notice something. Just let's think about this. Jesus did not call a prayer meeting and say, well, if we come on, disciples, let's join hands, let's gather around, let's make a circle around this fig tree, all right? I want you all to try to believe with me. He didn't do that. He didn't even pray to the Father. All right, they didn't stop. They didn't stop and have a worship service. Another. He just said, no man eat fruit from you hereafter again. He spoke to it. They went out, came out. The disciples noticed. He said, look at this fig tree that you spoke to. He said, you cursed. It's withered. And Jesus said to them in verse 22, answered, have faith in God. I've got a note in my Bible that says, have the faith of God. One translation says, have the God kind of faith. Well, what is that kind of faith? Well, he says this, I say unto you, verily I say unto you, that whosoever, that's you and me, we're whosoever's, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now notice here, he talks about believing and saying. Romans 10 talks about believing and saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about believing and saying. One of the ways to release our faith and to live by faith is to say out of our mouth what we believe. Now, probably what a lot of folks don't understand is that most people are living that way. They are saying what they believe. And if you can listen to people talk long enough, you can find out what they believe. All right? You know, people... you know, we don't think, we take things for granted. But people, for instance, that are sports fans, you know, if you're an NFL fan, if you're an NBA fan, if you're, you know, a baseball, you find out very quickly if you listen to people talk which teams they support and which teams they don't support. Why? It comes out of their mouth. Well, we need to make sure that we live a lifestyle of speaking what the Word of God says on a daily basis. Now, it's good, yes, it's good to have a time every day where you make your confessions. But I'm talking about living this way. Not just, again, not having a time of faith, but living a life of faith. Where all throughout the day, whenever anything, the Word of God is what we say. I'm reminded that Paul told the church at Colossae, and told us because it's written to us by the Holy Spirit, that the Word of Christ should dwell in us richly. Richly. It's like a sponge full of water, rich with water. Every time something pushes against that sponge that's full of water, that's rich with water, water comes out. We should be like that. We should be so full of the Word of God that every time something from this life comes against us, pushes against us, puts pressure on us, out comes the Word. We just can't help it. Amen? And so we've got to be like those who we call the heroes of faith, not just those written in Hebrews chapter 11, but those who have been fathers of the faith to us in our generations. And you hear them talk, so many of them say, they say this when they encounter anything, what's the Word say about that? What's the Word say about that? Well, what does the Word say about that? Well, what scriptures are you believing for that? You see, it's basing our belief on the Word and then saying out of our mouth what the Word of God says about that situation. You say, if you don't know, here's something that is something good to practice to live by. If you don't know what the Word says about it, be quiet about it for a while. If you don't know, you don't have to say something. I learned this from, you know, one of my friends in the ministry. You'd ask him a question, he'd say this, don't know, can't tell you. Well, at first I was a little aggravated, but then I got to really respect that, because he's not going to say something he didn't know about. He's not just going to answer you to give you an answer, because if he didn't know anything about it, he wasn't going to act like he did. And I think that's so important when we don't know. So take the time. If you don't know about it, take some time, get in the Word of God, ask God to help you, give you wisdom, lead me, Holy Spirit, into the answer to this. And then once you find out what God's Word says about it, say it out of your mouth, live that way, and you're going to see yourself down the road, not living from event to event, but you're living the life of faith. Yes, things are going to come against us. We're going to have things that happen because we're still in this world. If you don't know this yet, this world's not perfect. Not going to be perfect. We're not going to make it perfect. That's going to happen after Jesus deals with it and the heavens and earth are remade by fire. Then we'll have a perfect place. All right? But we don't have that right now. And so things are going to come against you. But thank God, the just shall live by faith. And I like this scripture in First John. What is the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. And so if we're living by faith, that means faith. That means we're living in continual victory all the time. Glory to God. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for those that are watching right now, have watched this live. I thank you for those who are going to watch this later, that Father, this Word, that you would cause it by your Spirit to rise up and live big within them. And you'll bring these things to our remembrance so that we would know what to say when we, and what the Word, your Word says about it. Holy Spirit, bring the Word to our remembrance, and so that we can speak out. Father, help us to develop the right beliefs according to your Word. We thank you for it, Father. And Father, I just want to thank you for all the ministry gifts that you've given us. Thank you for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and the entire Hagen family. Thank you for the men and women at this church who you've tasked with preaching the Word of God, and all of those around the world who are preaching this message of faith. Thank you for them, Father, as they're doing what they're called to do by you, that you've built us up and you help us, and we're growing up in you, Father, and we thank you for being equipped. I thank you for each and every one of them. Hey, now we mentioned Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus died for you, and that God raised him up and he's alive today, and if you will say with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, is Lord, then you would be saved. If you've never done that before, I want you right now, just say this after me. Heavenly Father, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I declare right now that he is my Lord. And I thank you now, Father, that you are my Father, Jesus is my Lord, and I am a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. See, it's that simple. Believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. If you did that, would you please let us know? Get on our webpage and send us an email at partnerservice@rhema.org. Let us know. We want to be able to pray with you some more and give you the information that you need. Okay, God bless. Don't forget now, Wednesday night, Hour of Power right here at 7 o'clock and all the different announcements. And I know Brother Bill will be back right after the service just to let you know some more things. God bless you.